thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. You probably heard my man Ray Jeezy talk about his Atlanta Falcons early, talking about, you know, the referees cheated the game.
That was off the record, sir.
Anyways, listening to Urban Sports, I'm Wally here with Ray, my boy Will T. What's good, everybody?
Looking for sports.
Cooler, man. Can't complain. How you doing?
85% next to me.
Who's 85%?
Will is. He's not quite back to himself. He's not 100% yet. He's getting there, though.
Hashtag rose up yet.
Shots fired. Really, bro. It has been like a couple weeks since we didn't get a chance to talk about the Super Bowl. We're not going to.
Well, we have fun talking sports, right? So me and him, we can have fun debating whether the Falcons choked or whether Matt Ryan is not an all-star, because I'm not like OKC fans. I'm not going to go burn a jersey or cry or start a bonfire.
Man, that's what sports, it's all in fun. That's what sports fans do.
No, that's
man.
Called fanatics. That's
no, listen. Fanatics. Right, thank you. And Will, you know, if that was the Redskins losing the Super Bowl and you text Wally that, he wouldn't have responded.
I
know he wouldn't.
I wouldn't. I'm honest, though. I know I wouldn't. You ain't no gotta tell me nothing. I don't even go to little sporting events with you all. I mean, when I'm sporting events, I mean like at the bar or whatever. You're like, hey, Wally, Redskins are playing right now. Wally, you trying to watch the game with me and so-and-so? I'm like, nah, the game's on right now. We can watch you in the atmosphere with everybody there. I don't feel like knocking somebody out.
To me, you just kill the fun.
Yeah.
In sports, when you take it that seriously, when you can't watch it with nobody, you can't talk about it.
So but, look at my face.
So let me ask you this.
Look at my face.
So when Washington football team is on,
yeah,
do you sit somewhere secluded in a dark room?
If I
watch it with his brother.
If need be, or if Al is pissing me off, I'm by myself.
So what enjoyment or excitement do you get out of watching? Because sporting events are. It's something that you should watch live. It's something communal. Uh-huh. It's like communal television watching. You know what I mean? You're around people. You talk. You
have food. It's fun.
That's the fun of it. The social aspect.
There you
of
go.
It. So
that's
what do
that's
you get?
For
so
you?
What? So no, I mean it's.
Oh, okay, so
I mean I don't have any ownership in a team.
No, you asked me a question,
yes.
So I should answer this question. I don't care what anybody else does. I know for me. I'm focused on my team. I'm watching my team. I don't even care for the social element of it.
So let me ask you this. Do you think your focus on your team can impact the outcome?
No. He asked me.
Oh, sorry.
He didn't ask you. He asked me. let's let that all be known. Right. Yes, I do. I'm superstitious. I think so.
I never understood it, man. I never understood it.
No, man, that's why I would call an individual jinx in a second. You see me do it. I'm like, don't talk. Let it happen because you're a jinx.
It's crazy, man.
It really is. You want something? You have something to say too, Ray? You kind of quiet in the corner, man.
Let's get this thing rolling.
Hey, Will T.
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
All right, here are our topics. NBA.com has the Washington Wizards fifth within the power rankings at 820. The Kansas City Chiefs. We're going to talk about the Kansas City Chiefs possibly being interested in Kirk Cousins. We're going to compare Kirk Cousins and Alex Smith. At 8:30, we're going to talk about, as a matter of fact, sports fans being entitled. Entitlement, Will T, you know, Kevin Durant had that issue in OKC when the fans heckled him and booed him. At 8:40, we'll discuss Floyd Mayweather Jr. possibly fighting Conor McGregor. Is it a waste of time? Is it a fight to happen? Is it the fight to happen? And finally, we'll have Cecilia Towns from GladiateHers.com to talk about the Washington Mystics acquire Elena Deladon. But the Washington Wizards. The Washington Wizards Monday night defeated the Thunder, OKC Thunder, 120-98. And like I said, NBA.com has the Washington Wizards fifth within the power rankings. First, your thoughts about that?
The game or the rankings.
The game.
I think the ranking. I think it's an accurate ranking. Just if you're going off of how this team has played the last 2 months of the season, the role that they've been on, and the quality of the opposition that they've played over the past 2 months, also, I think it's very fair to rank them as the fifth best team in the NBA.
What's up, Ray?
What other teams can you compare right now to the Washington Wizards, who are also winning a lot of games, their own streaks? Indiana Pacers just had a streak broken of seven games.
Golden State Warriors had a streak until they lost to, like, the Denver Nuggets.
The Miami Heat.
And then the Boston Celtics.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So if you look at these other teams that are also hot, arguably just as hot as the Wizards, how do they compare to those teams? Head-to-head, Wally, you and I both saw the Wizards defeat the Celtics at home and the Pacers at home, and they looked as though they matched up very well against these two teams.
Yeah.
The last time the Wizards faced the Heat, the Wizards lost. And we all know Golden State, there's no comparison. So my point in saying all this is I believe the rankings are accurate, but I feel like it could change from week to week for the simple fact that there are so many teams that are playing well right now in addition to them if we're basing their ranking on the sole fact that they've been hot lately.
So right now in the power rankings, you have the Golden State Warriors at number one. I believe the Houston Rockets are two. The Cleveland Cavaliers are three. And I want to say I'm going to check this right now.
This is NBA.com, by the way, because Mark Stein has a totally different ranking. He has the Spurs number three.
And he has the Spurs number four.
And he has the Rockets four and Wizards five, which I don't have no problem with. And the Celtics are right there on six. And again, if the Wizards lose to the Celtics in that next matchup, their last one of the season in Boston next month, they're gonna flip places that easy, that quick.
I mean, the Wizards have been one of the more, in this stretch, have been one of the more consistent teams in basketball. Even after they lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers last week, like 140-135 in overtime, they follow with three game winning streak.
But I'll say this: let me ask you this question. Do you think because of the usage rate that the starting five of the Wizards have that is sustainable? Because you know John Wall, I think he's averaging the second or third most minutes in the NBA with 36 minutes. Bradley Beal isn't that far behind.
I think Otto Porter's second, as a matter of fact, on that roster with the minutes.
Okay, well, Otto Porter, I forgot, it was Otto Porter.
That is what concerns me, the sustainability going down the stretch, and I've been saying that for a while. Although the bench has been playing even better. Let me give you the stat. Through Friday's win over the Pacers, the bench ranks eighth in the league in net rating over just the past 20 games, which is a vast improvement.
It's a vast improvement. I mean, this, you know, I think during the 82-game season, you need to be able to rely on your bench, especially let's take, for instance, the game against OKC.
Yeah.
At a point, the Wizards had a 34-point lead.
Saw the same thing you saw.
Then that lead dwindled down to, I believe, around 20, and then they had to bring back the starters. They had to integrate starters, and you had to bring back Wall, Beal, Otto Porter to mix and match with your second unit. When you have a 34-point lead, you look at the team that I think is the blueprint, the elite team, at least during the regular season, Golden State Warriors.
Yeah.
They get a 34-point lead.
It's a wrap.
Yeah. All the starters are resting. You know, you may have Durant may play a couple of minutes in the fourth, or Curry may play 4 or 5 minutes to start off the fourth. But essentially, when they get a 34-point lead going into the fourth quarter, the starters are resting. And that's what you need if the Wizards are going to advance late into April and May.
I know. I agree. I think that's the big issue. Especially, you know, it's still a lot. You still got a lot of games left in the season. And say an injury goes down, and we see how this unit works together. Say Bradley Beal goes down. That's obviously a big loss. Who's gonna pick up the slack for them off the bench to help that team out? So I think as a starting five, this team is one of the better basketball teams out there.
At least Scott Brooks has found a rotation.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think that's great. Because last season, the coach, which I don't even want to say his name, obviously Whitman, I'll say his name, he was trying and experimenting so many different lineups because he couldn't figure out how to make his team work together. This season, we're not seeing that. But again, it's going to be difficult to sustain. Although, as we just talked about, the Wizards are improved as far as their bench play goes. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Injuries scare me because if you do have somebody go down to starting five, who do you put in place? Put in place of that person?
I think realistically, the only guy who, if you lose him, you lose a lot, but I think there's a comp on the bench, and that's Otto Porter with Kelly Oubre. Because I think Kelly Oubre gives you just the same level of defense.
I think
Porter's the best defender on the team, I think.
I think Porter's. You know what? I like Kelly Oubre as a defender.
Yeah,
I think
he's Kelly Oubre, he's just as good as a defender.
He fouls more, though. He does foul more.
He's not as accurate of a three-point shooter.
He's tenacious. He just doesn't know how to control. He doesn't know how to control. He gets out of control defensively, so he'll overreach. You know, Otto Porter is good because he can get in front of you, slides his feet a little better. Oubre can slide his feet, but then he gets a little bit over aggressive, and therefore that's how he picks up the ticky tack fouls.
Yeah, but I think, you know, if you lose John Wall, you gonna go with Trey Burke. You go with Trey Burke.
I think that's it. Please, to me, in my opinion.
You go that Trey Burke. John Wall's a 20-10 point guard. No matter what team you play on, it's gonna be hard to replace him.
If you go with Bradley Beal, you gonna go with Marcus Thornton.
What's name a good backup point?
It's gonna be what's his name? What's his name?
Zadaransky?
Yes, that's the
name a good backup point guard in the league though.
Ramon Sessions.
Oh my gosh. We saw him last year.
It was okay.
Ramon Sessions is a Ramon, he plays for
Charlotte.
If you lose Kemba Walker, I know you're going to lose a lot of scoring. But
what you trying to tell?
No,
listen, to tell
listen,
you lose
no,
Walker,
no,
Ramon
I'm saying no. Listen to
He's
me.
Not Moses.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying if you lose Kemba Walker for 10 games, I think with Ramon Sessions you can win 4 or 5 games.
Here's what I think, though.
In my opinion, I think out of 10, I just said out of 10 games.
I wasn't paying attention. I ain't gonna lie to you.
I think you can win 4 or 5 games.
Here's what I think.
You have to change your offensive approach because Kemba does so much. Kemba attacks the basket. Yeah. But Ramon Sessions can come in and run an offense. He can run sets for you.
Yeah, that broke jump shot.
We'll get back to that in a minute. We're focusing a lot on the bench, which we should be, because that's the weakest aspect of the team. However, the Wizards are becoming mentally tougher, and that's, I think, important. And you know why? You can see the confidence growing in the interviews, especially John Wall. He did an interview with Jalen Rose after the game on Friday, and he was asked, what's the biggest difference in the Wizards? And he said, me. I'm leading now. I know how to win. That sounds arrogant to some, but I feel like that's him growing confidence. I feel like the coach brought that type of what do you call it? Confidence to the team.
Swag.
Swagger, maybe. I don't know.
Sure as hell wasn't the GM.
I'm looking for the right word, but I feel like he's changing the culture. That's what I meant. He's bringing a different dynamic, and it's important. The only thing I don't like, and I'll ask you all the question, is the Wizards a mentally tough team? Is their goal is to reach the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't care who you are. Your goal is to win a championship every season, even when you know maybe you don't have the best talent in the league. LeBron James has been saying it since he was a rookie, and he led his team to the finals, in his second or third year with a team that was terrible, upset the Detroit Pistons, who have been playing well, went to back-to-back finals. So I think your goal is always to win it all, no matter what. And that bothers me a bit. But other than that, I feel like they're growing, and that's the most important thing.
I understand where you're coming from, because you want to have the winning mentality.
Absolutely.
But I think in the NBA, it's different, right? You think of all the great teams. Think of the 80s. Think of the late 80s and the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
You think of the the Bulls, for instance. The Bulls had to get past Detroit. How many times they had to – just so they had to get past Detroit, right?
Yeah, trials and tribulations.
Yeah, you had to Detroit had to get past Boston, right? So
and the Lakers too.
Yeah, and the Lakers. So there's steps you take. If you're the Wizards, you didn't make the playoffs last year. You go to the Eastern Conference. That's a step in the right direction. Then you can build off of that going forward.
You're listening to Urban Sports. You're listening to the Urban Sports. Seeing myself, Wally, Will T, and Ray. So right now, Look at how the Wizards are down the stretch. Normally have been playing ball in this stretch. Are they a contender to you?
Sorry, Will.
What happened, man?
I threw Will off when he was making his point. Are you saying they need to overtake Cleveland, basically?
I think you need to take steps. I think, yeah, you take steps. You take steps, right? You got to progress. And I don't think in one season, this season particularly, you are necessarily a better team than the Cleveland Cavaliers, unless you can go out and you can acquire assets to help strengthen that bench. But you don't have the assets on your team unless you're going to give up a Kelly Oubre.
To be real, it's not about the bench when it comes to Cleveland. It's about not having LeBron James. Because to me, the Cavaliers bench is not that great, in my opinion, either. And it hasn't been.
So what's going to make this team a contender, a true contender?
I think you just said something important. Not just the Eastern Conference. They need to make a move, right?
You need to make a move.
But what move would you say? What move would that be?
You would need to acquire – well, either – so –
because you would need
Otto Porter to make a quantum leap to the level of, I don't know, Kawhi Leonard.
I mean, so he's on his in his way.
I mean, he's starting to progress. Yeah. He's shocking the hell out of me.
He's a Hoyer.
Listen, I mean, he still has leaps and bounds to go, and I'll still stick to my proclamation earlier when he was drafted. What the hell are you doing drafting Otto Porter third overall?
Otto Porter for this team, I think a lot of times we look at basketball like because of LeBron James and the big three in Miami. And what we're seeing in Golden State, we automatically think you need to have a superstar in every position or a good scorer in every position. Otto Porter's a 15-point scorer in the three spot. That is good. That is good.
I mean, it's above average for any player. But when you think of the third overall pick in the draft.
Yeah, but I'm saying for this team, though, we're talking about a championship team, putting a championship team together. You already have two guys who control the ball in John Wall and Bradley Beal. Having a third man just makes – you don't get that constant, that great ball movement, that great ball rotation. So you have two. You have one guy in John Wall who pretty much is the dominant ball handler regardless. He sets up everything. So for this team, to me, what they have in the starting five is good enough to compete to get to an NBA Finals off the starting five. I think the question we all agree on is the bench. They need to have at least three more – individuals off that bench who can be consistent, because we know in the postseason you're running an 8-man rotation anyway. It's not like you're going 10. You're going an 8-man rotation.
So unless you're Golden State.
Unless you're Golden State. That's true. Unless you're Golden State. So you need three guys.
Or the Spurs.
Yeah, or the Spurs. That's true. You need three guys that you can rely on that can consistently ball for you. And you're right. One has to be the point guard. I think Jason Smith has been played excellent over this stretch. And you're going to need to find another guy who can be very consistent. Hopefully that's Kelly Oubre.
I got a better one for you. The guy you're paying $16 million a year.
Yamahimi.
Oh, that's a joke.
Now, here's the thing.
He's sorry to me.
How do you win? how do you win? You take the blueprint of people who have won. You study the championship teams. The Cleveland Cavaliers, who won the championship last year, have a big three on their roster and had the best player. They still held a tryout. They tried out Jordan Farmar, uh-huh. Kirk Heinrich, Lance Stevenson, who's now with Minnesota. And there was one other who they tried out. Y'all remember who it was?
Lance Stevenson. No, it was actually
Jordan Farmar, Kirk Heinrich, and Mario Chalmers.
Yeah, Chalmers, yeah.
Now, how come the Wizards, in my opinion, haven't done something similar? Or maybe we just haven't heard about it. But Lance Stevenson was out there for a while. What's the risk? Why not? What's the risk? It's like the Redskins when they brought in Larry Johnson one season.
This is the only thing with Lance. You have, if you're the Wizards and you've had a history of knuckleheads that have ruined your locker room, I think if you're
guys.
I think, well,
Andre Blatch and
Nick Young.
Gilbert Arenas. Gilbert Arenas, I don't count that because he did too much, you know, for the organization. He's like a T.O. type of guy to me. He does a lot. He did a lot, but he you know.
Speaking of T.O., that was travesty. Travesty.
We'll that's a whole nother subject.
We'll talk football.
No, that's not even the worst thing I heard this week.
We'll talk
Vince Young trying to make a comeback.
All right, then we're done. We're about to go to commercial. When we get back from break, we're going to talk about Kirk Cousins possibly. Well, not possibly. Would he be a good fit in Kansas City? Is there a sports saying?
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Vince Young?
Looking for sports here in the Tri-City area like you haven't heard before? Check me, yours truly, Mike Knox and the Solon Sports, weekdays 5 to 7 p.m. right here on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 a.m. Hopewell.
I seen your girl post a BM, so I hit her in the DM. All eyes, yeah, I see him. Yeah, that's your man, I hate to be him.
I'm Rashad Ross, I listen to Urban Sports Scene.
All right, you listen to the Urban Sports Scene, my boy Ray.
Oh, boy.
Will T and myself, Wiley.
My name is Vishon. I listen to Urban Sports Scene.
Get out of my face, dude. Get out of my face. You can tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. Check us out on Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene on Facebook. Check our stuff on Instagram. Just check out Walio at Walio32.
Damn, you putting something else in your name again? Walio.podbean.
Oh, Walio is my actual Instagram joint.
That's my actual
Instagram thing.
Let me ask you this.
What's up?
I'm gonna unveil a little bit of information.
What's going on?
Do you have your picture of your trophy on Instagram?
I probably do.
Never underestimate the heart of a champion.
Yeah, though, I'm a champ.
tell them why you're a champion.
In my lunch break, I'm in this 35-0 league.
Who can play basketball in their lunch break, first of all?
Look, man, I'm freaking done, son.
I'm just telling you, man, you got a reputation, bro. I ran into somebody, you know, we went to school. He said, I work at nights. I said, yeah, you see why? I said, all the time. He said, man, he got a sweet job. He be playing basketball. Thomas. I was like,
what you think Thomas
said? I was like, this dude got a reputation, bro. This dude got a reputation.
This dude evil.
I'm not evil. I'm just telling you. I wouldn't make these things up, man.
Oh, my God.
There's no way I could play basketball. Well, I want to run the steps.
I want a trophy. You know what I mean? I want a championship. I said trophy. I want a championship in the 35-0 league.
Lunch break league.
Oh, man.
So when do you eat is the question. After that, probably.
No, I don't eat.
You don't eat?
When I go and play
champions ball, don't eat. Huh?
Don't eat. We eat the competition. That's what you do. We eat the competition.
And that's what you're going with. That's what you believe.
That's what we do, and we win. We hoist that trophy up. And you know what it's about.
You got the picture of the trophy.
That picture was a Kobe Bryant-ish meme. That's what it was.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So it was a meme.
I'm going to let you rock out with that, my brother.
You got to let me rock out with it. That's what champs do.
Okay.
Hey, Ray, say it. You know quote. Say the quote.
What's quote?
Real people do.
Right? Oh, no, not reference to this.
I knew you weren't going to do it. Jerk.
A lunch break league, bro? Come on, man.
Real people do real things, man. That's messed up. Anyway, an online article fans are, excuse me, let me get my life in order, man. An online article.
Try to blame you because you stuttered.
I know, sure did. Compare Kirk Cousins to Alex Smith. If the Redskins franchised Kirk Cousins and traded him to KC for their first round picks,
so
first round draft picks.
Repeat that. You said on an article what?
Okay, an online article.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Fan Sided. Compare Kirk Cousins to Alex Smith.
Right.
All
right.
So in the if the Redskins franchised Kirk Cousins and say the Kansas City Chiefs wanted Kirk Cousins, they were willing to compensate for him the two first round picks and threw in an Alex Smith. Would that be a good deal for the Washington Redskins?
It would temporarily. It'll be a temporary stopgap. This team has waited what?
Here comes the ultimate criticizer.
I'm not criticizing. I'm not criticizing. No, I was actually about to pay Kirk Cousins a compliment.
There you go.
I'll piggyback on that. Go ahead, though.
For 20 years, this team has searched for a franchise quarterback, right?
It's a shot at the franchise. That's the point.
I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying, for 20 years, this team has looked for a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, let's name them, man.
Heath Shuler.
Gus Farad. Donovan McNabb.
Brad Johnson. Rich Gannon. Tony Moore. Banks.
Trent Green. Rex Grossman.
Kent Graham.
You gonna count Kent Graham?
Yeah. What's his name? John Beck.
I was waiting for that one.
So this team is
RG3. We forgot
RG3. Yeah.
You said Matthews too.
You know me.
Huh? You said Matthews too.
Nah, not Shane. I didn't put that. Shane Matthews. Jeff Rutledge.
Patrick Ramsey.
Keep going.
Jeff George. We can keep going.
Kerry Conklin too.
Kerry Conklin. We still haven't. We haven't even Brian gone Mitchell. Through the list. gone through the list.
You said Brian Mitchell.
So you finally have a capable quarterback.
Colt McCoy?
Y'all throwing me off.
Sorry, go ahead.
You finally have a capable quarterback, a guy who looks like, you know, in his third or fourth year, he can develop into a top tier, good one of the top when it comes to quarterbacks and you rank them, you got your elite, you got your franchise, and then you got the good quarterbacks. He could be the top of the tier of good.
Is your what you're saying right now, is that an answer to this question? And that is, has Alex Smith, a former number one pick, fallen off that much that he's in the same discussion as Kirk Cousins? Or has Kirk Cousins risen that much in his career?
Kirk Cousins has risen that much in his career.
Wow. So it speaks volumes. The numbers speak for him, though.
Yeah,
you know, his quarterback rating and the amount of yards he's thrown for, the touchdown interception ratio. Kirk Cousins
completion percentage.
Kirk Cousins deserves a contract. He does not deserve the franchise tag. Let him go to San Francisco.
He deserves a contract, but he doesn't deserve a Andrew Luck contract. And that's the type of money he wants. He's come out. It's what the market dictates,
and it's what his numbers. Look at the numbers he put up.
I understand it's what the market dictates, but at the same time, you can't cripple. the future of your team by paying Kirk Cousins $120 million with 80 of it guaranteed.
Can Alex Smith win a playoff game?
Yes.
Can Kirk Cousins win a playoff game?
Haven't seen it yet.
Has
he had the offensive weapons to win a playoff game?
Absolutely. Yes, he has.
To win a game to get in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think Alex was a better.
But I mean, if you ask Mike Shanahan, he says that Kirk Cousins could be a Super Bowl winning quarterback if you put the right system around.
No.
Mike Shanahan said Jake Plummer was the best thing since sliced bread. Man, too.
Mike Shanahan's an idiot. Here's the thing. No, I shouldn't say that. Mike Shanahan's a good coach, but I just don't like some of the things he says is like off the wall. But here's the thing. There have been not this past season, but the season before last. I don't know if Jeremy Maclin was on the roster, but only the tight end caught a touchdown for Alex Smith's team. Yeah. My point is, Alex Smith, to me, if he has the weapons that Washington has right now, I believe Alex Smith would have just as good as numbers as Kirk Cousins.
I think that's very fair to say. I think that's fair to say.
Nothing wrong by saying that anywhere.
But
everybody was criticizing Kirk Cousins' arm strength. Alex Smith, who would you say has a better arm between the two?
I think Kirk Cousins has a better arm.
By far?
I
think Alex Smith He doesn't take the challenge of, you know, throwing into, you know, tight windows and whatnot.
Alex Smith does, yeah.
You think he does?
I think so.
No,
I think Alex Smith, he will play on the side of safety more than anything.
Yeah, I think he's safer with the ball. He doesn't take chances to throw downfield as often as a Kirk Cousins. And he doesn't connect on those plays when he goes downfield Kirk Cousins does.
But if you watch that playoff game with Kansas City when Kansas City lost to Pittsburgh, his wide receivers let him down. Like, they were atrocious. He tried to extend plays.
I think it's fair to say Alex Smith he has Jeremy Maclin. Jeremy Maclin's a very good
wide receiver. Yeah.
But if you give Alex Smith a physically dominating wide receiver who has a wide catch radius, who's a matchup problem, this Kansas City offense can be dangerous.
Yeah.
When Alex Smith was with North Turner, you saw he was in the right system. And with Andy Reid, I think you see that he's in a good system, but obviously talent around him may not be the
best. Jim Harbaugh.
You saw what Alex Smith did with Jim Harbaugh.
He did. That's true too. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Even though he got benched though.
And played well with Vernon Davis.
He got benched though.
Who?
Oh, Vernon Davis. Can't win with him. Can't coach with him.
Well, he got benched. Yeah, he got benched because they were enamored with Kaepernick's ability.
If you had to choose, Wally, who would you take
between Alex Smith and Kirk Cousins?
Yes,
I'm taking Alex Smith. He's won a big playoff game. He's won big playoff games. He's helped his team win.
He had a choke job in Indy 1 year too though. In the playoffs.
Andy came back.
Yeah. I mean, he
Matt Ryan-esque.
Yeah, but he did. He beat Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers in a big postseason game. I mean, he's had big games.
Who?
Has made winning plays. He may have not had the best passing game, but he would extend plays and do whatever it took to win a game.
Redskins are going to draft a running back based on mock drafts, right? Have you seen that?
Let's talk about mock drafts.
We'll do that later because we got to another break.
Okay. Yeah. We can talk about mock drafts next week.
I'm just saying, if they show up to run again, Alex Smith would be a good bet, but Kirk Cousins is showing that he continues to develop as a big game passer. Yeah, I mean, he can throw for a lot of yards in the game. Maybe that's how he can frame it.
Yeah, that's true. He can throw for a lot of yards. That's just
Thanksgiving show that.
Yeah, numbers don't lie, right? They do lie. They lie like a mud. Anyway, Kevin Durant returned to OKC and got booed and heckled. Do fans take sports way too seriously? We'll discuss that after the break. It's the Urban Sports Thing.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Hear me.
you know, I you listen.
Good God, bro. Can I get into the?
I'm sorry.
Into the show. Hey, you listen to the Urban Sports Say with Wah, Ray Cheesy, and Will T. Ray, what you want to say now, man?
Nothing.
You sure?
We'll let the show goes on.
The show goes on. All right.
Show goes on. I'm sorry I interrupted.
It's all good, man. All right. Kevin Durant and the Golden State Warriors defeated the OKC Thunder 130-114. This was KD's first time back in OKC since leaving. He was booed and heckled. Did fans overreact?
Hell yeah, they overreact. To me, there's a point. You can be a good – you can support your team, be a highly engaged fan, right? Mm-hmm. And cheer your team on and not tear down a guy who gave so much to that organization for 9 years and gave to that community. To me, the fans who acted the way that they acted, it just goes to show me that those are the type of people that they are loyal to those who provide what they want to them or who provide an opportunity to them. You know what I mean? Kevin Durant, you should have taken that opportunity when Kevin Durant came back to OKC to applaud that man for all he's given. He gave you 9 years, and the organization wasn't able to put a winner around him. You know, what else more do you want from him? Did you want him to re-sign and continue, go through the headache of having Russell Westbrook jack up terrible shots and turn the ball over?
That point right there is valid.
I'm conflicted because I feel like, you know, when you wear a cupcake shirt, I feel like that's question like a person's manhood, you know what I'm saying? But whoever came up with the idea and sold those made some money.
Freaking geniuses.
Well, no. The whole cupcake thing goes back to Kendrick Perkins. When Kendrick Perkins was part of OKC.
I know the history behind it. Yeah. But they were trying to say he was a cupcake. If I'd say, Will, you a cupcake, you can get mad.
I'd punch you in the face.
That's what I'm saying. Just imagine calling you a cupcake.
No, and to me, that just shows just
if
how
I was
much.
White people at that.
I mean, to me, it just.
What does it have to do with anything? That's messed up.
That was Ray Cheesy.
Wasn't it, though?
No.
I'm not the black militant. I'm the mixed militant. I'm part white, so I'm not a racist. Hey, go ahead, man.
No, I mean, to me, it just goes to show, do you think just because you paid for a ticket, you have the right to call someone a cupcake, you had a right to boo someone? Yeah, it just goes to show the privilege, fans' privilege. It just goes to show just how much fans think that they can affect or they're interacted or how much they're affecting the game.
But this is my thing. Were you really surprised, though?
Yeah, I was a little shocked.
I wasn't.
The man gave 9 years to you.
You got to calm down.
But this is the thing. This team is deemed their enemies in a way. Like, it is. Like, Golden State, because of what happened last year, to the OKC fan base, is the enemy. That's what it is.
How are they the enemy? Well, Russell Westbrook is the enemy. He's the one who took terrible shots and turned the ball over.
But see, for the fan base, I'm explaining this. For that fan base, the Warriors are the enemy.
The fan base isn't rational.
Well, I'm just saying. I'm giving you the explanation. You were this close to getting to the NBA Finals. This close. And Kevin Durant played a part, too, in them losing that series.
I'll give you that,
okay,
yes.
So it's not just Westbrook. You have your best player, right, going to the team that basically he had an opportunity to eliminate last year, going on that team, and now that team is just rolling, and your team is barely the seventh seed in the Eastern, in the Western Conference, where in all honesty, if they had that dude, they would be a top three seed.
Well, let me stop. Maybe one. Well, you're right. Well, maybe let me one. Stop you. Let me stop you right you're there. Right. And your rationale of for acceptance of OKC's fans' behavior.
Not accepting.
Look, you just said the key thing you said was he left and went, and your team is the number seven, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Don't be mad at Kevin Durant. Be mad at your organization. Your organization obviously didn't restock with enough talent to put your team over the edge. If one player can leave and it can affect the whole the dynamic, the trajectory of your team, be mad at your organization. Don't be mad at that man.
According to Wally, that's debatable as far as their talent level goes, but we won't go there now. But A is one is Oklahoma City is a small community in comparison to other NBA cities. You saw when Shaq left Orlando, there was hatred, but it wasn't this. And of course, I don't expect people who are angry to be rational. They're not going to remember when Kevin Durant helped rebuild the city after that storm. They're not going to remember those things right now because they're upset. Mm-hmm. Later on, they'll be able to reflect And I think they'll definitely probably, pour salt on their wounds. What's the word I'm looking for? No, that's not it.
LeBron got heckled in Cleveland.
Yeah, but it wasn't that bad.
It was bad. LeBron was bad.
But
LeBron was bad.
They'll be able to I can't think of the word. It's like a re something word.
Oh, I know.
Anyway, they'll get it together as time passes. But what I think is being magnified here is that the fact that it's Kevin Durant, because when we go to games, we cover games live. A lot is said that we won't hear on TV. Like the girl that was sitting behind us, behind the press box, calling Isaiah Thomas a midget and all types of stuff is said. Kobe Bryant was heckled worse after the whole rape case.
Yeah.
So these things happen. Sure. It's nothing new. You got to expect out of some sports fans. It's not like it's a shock. So, you know what? Move on. Kevin Durant, I think, said he thought it was going to be worse. So
I don't have to expect that from sports fans. Look, if you wouldn't say that to a man's face, don't think just because you're in a crowd of 20-something thousand people, you get beer muscles and you feel encouraged that you can say something to a person. No. If you wouldn't – this is how I go about life. If I wouldn't say it to your face –
that's true.
When you face to face with me, I'm not going to say it to you. It's that simple.
Real talk.
If you man enough to say it to my face, then obviously there's a reaction. And how I react, you can't be upset of how I react.
They'll mend their relationship later, as I said. To me, it's personality driven. A sports that serious where I got to invest that much hatred into – no.
You obviously don't have a lot going on in life.
That's kind of what I feel too.
Yeah. To me, if, say, if Magic Johnson went to the Boston Celtics, he would be booed out.
That's
out
a rival. I mean, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You're looking at town looks at it.
Wouldn't be surprised.
I mean, if Michael Jordan left the Bulls and went to the Pistons, Chicago fans would hate him.
I'll give you a better example. Say you're a young child who writes a letter to Hulk Hogan and he doesn't respond to you. Wow. How would you react?
Look, okay, now on that note.
You should be surprised.
We're about to go to blow. It's like Mayweather McGregor. We're going to talk about that at the break. It's the Urban Sports Center.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Come on, man. And with the local DBC news, LL Cool J with a triumphant comeback. For a solo. But tonight, don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years. I'm rocking my pants. What's up with the fear? Making the tears rain down like a monsoon. Listen to the bass go boom, explosion. Overpowering, over the competition. I'm towering, wreck your shop. When I drop these lyrics that'll make you call the cops. Don't you dare stare. You better move. Don't ever compare. Be to the rest that are all get sliced and diced. Competition's paying the price.
Listen to Urban Sports Scene. before the break. We talked about Floyd Mayweather Jr., Conor McGregor. After the
no,
before
we
that,
talked about
Real T make putting bringing up stuff he shouldn't be bringing up.
I didn't y'all bring up anything,
y'all
man.
Y'all ain't supposed to know about that type of life.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You can't be mentioning no.
I just
young
I gave I didn't I didn't say it was you.
Obviously, look, I'm putting myself out there. Obviously, I just did. All
okay, right, well, I just gave a random look, example.
Look,
you took it to heart.
We're gonna talk about pound for pound, probably one of the greatest fighters ever, and Floyd Mayweather Jr. There's reports out there that him and Conor McGregor have accepted to do a fight.
Well, no, let's be accurate. Stephen A. Smith reported that they're very close.
Oh, did he? I thought it was other reports. Oh, just they're very close?
No, yeah. Stephen A. Smith reported that they were very close to an agreement. And then Floyd Mayweather came back and on Instagram and refuted and said that he has no plans of fighting. He's happily retired.
Thank you, Jesus.
No, he also said on Instagram, though, if the fight was going to happen, McGregor needs to get with the UFC and the UFC need to call his people. He said he's not doing what he needs to do to make it happen.
Well,
that fight, though.
No, please. That fight would do. It would do Pacquiao Mayweather numbers.
Oh, you think?
Because UFC has such a big fan base.
Oh,
yeah, of course it will. But I mean,
would you
rather see that fight over Pacquiao Mayweather?
No, I don't want to see that fight.
Okay,
exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's what I meant.
I think in this political and social climate that we're in, I think that this type of fight will bring out the worst in people.
Ooh, explain.
Floyd Mayweather represents. Yeah. Something.
Okay.
Right?
All right. I got you.
He represents someone fly, flashy, flaunts his wealth, and he talks a lot of ish, but he backs it up.
Yeah.
Which there's a certain segment or demographic of the population doesn't rock with Floyd Mayweather.
Mm-hmm.
Conor McGregor, although he's from Ireland, his look, he's a white male,
mm-hmm.
a lot of people would side with him. And I think that this fight would bring the type of trash talk, not from these two, but from fans, and I think it would get very ugly.
Mm-hmm.
McGregor's a talker.
He's a talker. He would incite people to feel a certain type of way. Floyd Mayweather he does a great job of inciting people to evoke a certain emotion from people.
Equal. Yeah.
So which fight would draw more than Pacquiao Mayweather 2 or this fight right here?
This fight right here.
Would it really? You think so?
Pacquiao is. I think he's not the same draw.
You have UFC fans, and then you have Floyd Mayweather fans, and then you have people who just want to see Floyd Mayweather lose. I mean, it's not. I wouldn't waste my money on watching this fight just for the sake of for.
So
Conor McGregor is. An MMA fighter.
Not a boxer,
he's not a boxer.
Yeah.
Floyd Mayweather is the best boxer of his generation.
Yeah.
It would be a wash.
But Conor McGregor, I believe, is more of a like a hands dude anyway.
He's
a complete fighter, man, when it comes to mixed martial arts.
Yeah.
He can't outbox Floyd Mayweather.
He's not going to.
It's just the personalities. It would be a money grab if people would waste their money on that. You're just gonna make two guys richer that don't need to be. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I wouldn't buy the fight. And I'm a huge boxing fan, but I would not buy that fight.
Who wants to buy
pay $75?
Real T is very selective with fights he buys anyway. But I agree with this one.
And I'm more selective the fights I.
You go to a venue and watch it. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
I go to a venue. By any means necessary, not to.
It's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, it's nothing wrong with that.
Exactly.
Man.
And freeload off.
Now you know what though. One thing I haven't done. I don't know if it's on my bucket list necessarily, but I would like to go to a fight live, a really good fight. Terrence Crawford is somebody who I think I would pay to see live.
You like him? You like him a lot?
Yeah,
I
do.
You think he's tested? I don't think he's tested.
I mean, he hasn't faced the top level of competition that you want to see him face thus far in his career. But he stylistically and his skill set, he's one of the better boxers.
So, and with that being said, as great as Floyd is, I wouldn't want to pay to see him because I don't like his style of fighting. Andre Ward's the same way for me.
I love Andre Ward.
Yeah, and that's real. A lot of people have said that why would I pay to watch a Floyd Mayweather fight? It's no excitement for me.
Wouldn't pay to see the San Antonio Spurs. Come on, hey, let's get some Spurs tickets. You probably like, hell no.
With Tim Duncan?
With anybody.
I would love
they
to
were
see Tim
born. They still born.
I would love to watch Tim Duncan play basketball.
I would go see a Spurs
respect
game.
Respect Tim Duncan, son.
Spurs.
Put some respect on
are
that
boring.
Name. Put some respect on his name, son.
The Spurs, Utah, you can have it.
Now the Spurs, when they were winning champion, when they played the Knicks in the championship, I wouldn't pay. You couldn't pay me to go see
that. That was sloppy basketball.
Yeah, like, and I'm a Knicks fan, and I had a hard time watching those
games.
Speaking
of Knicks, how do you feel about, you know, your man Oak and Sprewell showing up?
I think Spree.
You got a bad word for him, don't you?
Yeah, I was going to start something with a C.
I knew it.
I think I don't understand Latrell Sprewell's rationale for coming back to the Garden. Did he do it for a check?
Uh-huh.
Did he do it simply because time had healed old wounds?
Uh-huh.
Does he genuinely have a tight relationship with James Dolan at this point in his career? But to me, I pay attention. I judge people off how you treat me, but I also take into consideration how you treat others. And I do a pretty good job of knowing when I'm being used.
Uh-huh.
And James Dolan simply used Latrell Sprewell. He had a fight with Charles Oakley, a former Knicks fans, especially Knicks fans of the 90s, a legend. Then you have Latrell Sprewell, a guy who, from all accounts, I don't know the nature of their relationship, but he didn't leave New York on the best of terms.
Yeah.
Then you magically invite him to come and sit with you front seat at the Garden a day or two after you had Charles Oakley arrested? Nah.
No, it was definitely dirty. But the Mystics are now relevant. We'll have CC Towns from GladiatorHers.com.
The Mystics been relevant, man.
They haven't been relevant to Nicky McCray. come on to discuss the Mystics acquiring. What's wrong with you? You nodding your head, you all right? You all right?
Phases, you did just
the Mystics acquire Elena Delladon. We'll discuss that after break. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
The ages,
you dig?
Mean Gene.
I try to make it next month. Soon up, fucking shredded shit up.
Yellow beat, holla at me.
And chewy on some hot. Like I told Tish, I see when I like you seen him twirl, then he drops. And we keep them to my block. And Monte keep it on him, he done drop. And we be wildin', he some hot. Tones known to get busy with them. Try to run down and you could catch it. Running through these checks till I pass out.
Pass out.
Shorty give me neck till I pass out.
Pass out.
I swear to God, all I do is cash out. And if you ain't up, beat up on my trap house.
You're listening to Urban Sports Scene. Ray, Wally, Wiltie, we're in the building now. We are joined by CC Towns from GladiatorHers.com. Discuss the Washington Mystics acquisition of Elena Delladon. CC, what's hood? What's good? I said, what's hood? Sorry, I sound like DMX. What's good?
I'm in the car on the way to see my mom. So life is good. No complaints.
Sounds good.
Oh, I thought you were going to try to say you driving to the hood when I said what's hood. I was like, oh, okay, it's like that. But, you know, simple mistake, though, man. I was shaking recently, too, when I interviewed John Wall, man. I make mistakes sometimes.
Yeah. He was like Muhammad Ali.
But it's always good to have you on the show. Nice shot, Wally. Wally said before the break that the Mystics are now relevant. I don't know if I totally agree, but when you pick up the biggest star in women's basketball right now, arguably, I think that's big news, and it created a buzz around here for Mystics fans and even casual WNBA fans. So, what's your thoughts?
I say congratulations to the Mystics. I mean, she really is. She's like an amazing basketball player, and even more so, like I think an amazing person. And I think it's just going to be great for the organization. One, like you said, the star, her sheer star power, I think, is going to help put some more butts in the seats. But, you know, from a performance standpoint, I think she, you know, between her, Christy Sullivan and Emma Wiseman, like adding those three, that's like instant playoff contention right there. I also think, you know, just, she's going to be happy there, which is very important. And I'm not saying that to say she wasn't necessarily happy in Chicago, but, you know, from the way she chose her college to the way she chose to come to the Mystics, is, you know, when she makes decisions based off of what is good for her personally, like, I think it helps her performance. So, I mean, I think you guys are, it's going to blow up. The team is going to blow up. Going to be a really big thing.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I want to ask you this, kind of along those lines. How marketable is she as a star? And with, you just mentioned Christy Tolliver, University of Maryland star, brought the women their only, the women's program, their only national championship. How do you feel like the marketability is going to change here for the Mystics?
I mean, it's going to skyrocket. I mean, she really is one of the superstars of the league. I think people, you know, beyond recognizing that she is a really great player, they recognize that she's a really great person. You know, a lot of women and girls look up to her, little boys look up to her, like they can relate to her. You know, her story is one of, just like love, you know, love for the game of basketball, love. So, you know, people are instantly attracted to that, and I definitely see, you know, I'm sure they're going to see an uptick in attendance and, you know, maybe even fan gear.
So we got John Wall, Bryce Harper, Kirk Cousins, I guess.
Thank you. That's disrespectful, ain't it, though?
We got John Wall, Bryce Harper. Okay, Alex Ovechkin. And now we got Elena Deladon. Where are you going to place Deladon amongst these stars now in the DMV?
Well, I mean, she's right up there. I mean, she's definitely there. I mean, I guess what, John Wall, how many times has he gone to the playoffs with the...
Twice.
Yeah. So I mean, I guess until she's right there, but until she makes it to the playoffs, and gets a playoff win, like she's not gonna necessarily surpass them. You know, I think obviously what it would take to surpass them would be to win a championship. But she's right up there. I mean, All of them can be in the same picture, in my opinion.
Yo, we had Holzclaw, Shamiko Holzclaw, when she was in her prime. Is this bigger?
I don't remember exactly who all was on the team with her, but I think it might be bigger. I think because, one, women's sports is bigger right now. And I think more people are paying attention. I don't know though. Like, also, she was a beast, and like people loved her. And I think actually when she was playing, I don't know about the popularity of the league exactly around that time. But I don't know. They might really be neck and neck, honestly.
Yeah, I like the community.
We're going to put that on Twitter. We'll see, but. We appreciate your opinion as always. It's always helpful to educate us on women's sports as we, you know, grow in our viewership, I guess, and watching it. Obviously, I think this is going to change a lot. But before you leave, before you wrap up, you know, let folks know how they can reach you and view your stuff on social media.
Yeah, I'm Sporty Esquire on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat. And the blog is gladiatehers.com. We just put up a great piece about UConn and their 100th win. So check it out, folks. Follow us and interact with us. We'd love to hear from each and every one of you.
Well, thanks again, Cece. We appreciate you. We'll have you on next time, all right?
All right. Have a good night, guys.
Have a great one.
All right.
That was Cece Towns from GladiatorHers.com. Make sure you check out her blog. And like she said, check out her her article on UConn's 100-game winning streak. UConn women 100-game winning streak.
That's amazing.
Ain't it, though?
That's called domination.
Yeah.
That's unprecedented. It's no word to describe that.
It's history. Let me ask you guys this. Did you watch any of that game?
No. I'm honest, though. I'm not going to lie. Honest?
It wasn't because I have something against women's basketball. Sometimes I don't watch a lot of sports.
What day was that on? When was that on?
Monday.
Did you watch?
I was in practice, man.
No. 24 Legacy was on.
How was that show?
It's pretty good.
Is it good?
Well, you don't watch women's sports, though. You only watch women's boxing.
No, with Dr. Dre, right?
Yeah.
With Dr. Dre.
You watch women's boxing?
No, I do watch women's basketball, though.
Oh. Okay.
I do watch WNBA. I actually been to a couple WNBA games.
I have not.
Oh, you've been?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you need a cupcake shirt. Say, no, I'm joking.
That's the perfect way to end the show. That's the perfect way to end the show right there.
Right. Well, anyway, man, we appreciate everybody for listening in to the Urban Sports Scene. Anyway, anything you want to say, right?
I'm not shaking no more, baby.
You're not shaking?
Nah. Hashtag rise up.
Shake it, baby. Shake it, baby.
Hulk Hogan, man. You're the real VP.
Once again, congratulations to Wally on his championship.
Appreciate it, man. All these shots are happening. Once again,
will you bring your trophy to the studio?
All right, man. Thank you, Abe. You've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
The ages.
You dig.
Deuces.
Megalina's out, big homie. Swag, pledge allegiance to the swag, pledge allegiance to the swag.